Good morning. Hey, everybody. Here we are again. Live. We're going live. We're live. I still can't get used to this. I miss my peeps. I miss being around people. I'm just organizing. I'm still organizing. I'll tell you what. This morning has been a tough one because I had a real idea of which way I was going to go, and that got busted up. And thank God it got busted up, because I don't ever want to be at a place where I stop listening or even believing, especially trusting. Believe. I was talking Wednesday night about believing. We are supposed to not just believe. Believing's not a one-time thing. Let me just say it like this. It is a very tragic thing to be an unbelieving believer. I'll let you think about that one for a second. An unbelieving believer. We're going to roll, but I got on a minute late. I got on at 11. And I know that's the time we start. The thing about Facebook Live that feels a little bit weird to me is getting on here. Thankfully, I don't know how my wife set this up, but I don't see people's comments. I get stuck with people's comments for a minute, and then I feel weird waiting on enough people. When is it enough people to start? Because the good thing about Facebook Live is that it's recorded, so people can come check it out later. If you miss it live, I hope you're here live, because, you know, we're doing this in place of church. We're doing this in place of our regular meeting time. So I hope that all my church people set this time aside. You know, come on. You know, we're doing this so that we can all meet together. In a sense, at least we feel the sense of meeting together. So I hope you're here. And I don't see who and all are here. But Wednesday was cool because I had three people that commented anyway, from my childhood, that we all went to church together growing up. I'm talking about like the ages 9 to 12. Man, those are some pretty formidable ages. A lot of things going on. And those guys tuned in. It was so good that they were there. And it's so good that all of you are here. I don't mean like that. But it was neat to see people from my past tuning in. And it's really been cool. You know, here's the thing. About the stopping the ability to meet. And I understand why. I even agree with why for a time. You know, I agree that we should not be together right now publicly because of this pandemic. That's just common sense. And even when we come back together, what's going to be the first church to open? Who's going to be first? I'm not so sure that I want to be the bell cow on that one. I'm not sure that I want to follow with the herd mentality that this one did it so that I feel the pressure that we need to do it. I have to follow my peace. That's first and foremost, and I'm going to do that. But here's the thing with all that I've realized. Facebook has even had a very hard time with the amount of content and the amount of people that are tuning in. I don't understand that, but I talked to someone from Comporium the other day. I was cutting grass at the church. Yeah, I still do that. And I love to do that. But a guy from Comporium that I know pulled up, and he said, "We're having a hard time staying on top of this." He said, "Because your bandwidth that you have in your home is not meant to handle the capacity that it's given. And on Sundays, it's just going nuts because churches are presenting all this content. And I thought that's so cool. But this is what I'll say about that, is that we can be halted from meeting together. For right now, it's been stopped. The ability to meet together has been stopped, but the influence of the church has not been stopped. And I love that. Our influence is not stopped at all. Our influence continues. As a matter of fact, it is crazy to me to look at the size of our church versus the number of hits that we're getting how much outreach we have, or how much, I'm not saying that word right, but how many people we're being able to touch, because you can't stop the influence of God. So in that way, modern technology has become our friend. There's not that many people preaching, not many people, preachers preaching against Facebook right now. It's amazing how our perspective changes. I'm just thankful for an outlet. I'm thankful for outlets. However we can get the gospel out there. I don't care about the rest. I just want to get the gospel out there. And this is one of our avenues and abilities to do that. So I'm going to get started. And let me just tell you this. I said that everything that I had planned for today was pretty much interrupted, very much interrupted. So actually, that's a good thing. I think you'll understand what I mean in just a few minutes when I start sharing this with you. So I want to pray. Lord, I thank you for a divine interruption. And I thank you for showing me things. And I believe it's important that we listen to you. Help me to always listen to you. And not just listen, help me to obey what you say, because hearing your voice is a privilege, but blessing comes when we obey your voice. So with that being said, prayed, communicated, Lord, I thank you for today, and I pray that you use this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I hope you guys are still doing okay with this. I know that we're all getting a little cabin fever. I know that we're missing each other. I am truly missing my church family. Whew. I love people. I love that touch. I love the hugs. I love the handshakes. I love the embraces. And I miss it. I can't tell you how much I miss it. I'm praying that this won't be going on too much longer. I'm already in contact with other ministers and trying to figure out, you know, when we're going to start back up. I'm going to be complicit, like I have been, with the government, with the governor's orders. But I believe as those things are lifted, we still need to be wise. And so pray for me, okay? I want to get it right. I am looking at all this as something that is very, when all of this started, there's a pastor that I have listened to, and I've been in fellowship with him, and it's probably not the guy that you're thinking of. It's a guy that he's in fellowship with too, but I don't want to call names. And this man said something, And I don't listen to this guy all the time or exclusively, but I listen to him sometimes. And just about every time I listen to him, he has something so powerful to say. And at the very beginning, someone close to him said, "Do you think this is the end of the world?" And he said, "No, I don't believe it's the end of the world, but I'm hoping it's the end of church in our image." And maybe that's what he said. "Do you think this is the end of the church as we know it?" But this was his comment that stuck with me. This is what got me. He said, "I hope that it's the end of having church in our image." That is a biggie. That is huge, because I believe that we have learned how to get Hind ends and seats, okay? We've learned how to get people in a building. We've learned how to get a gathering of people. And that is only going to be good if when we get everybody together, we have the presence of the Lord. And I don't want to ever sacrifice his presence for people. Here's the thing. When we get back together, if I can get you in a building, well, I'm probably going to need to do something to get you to come back the next week. I say this with the, I believe, the right motive. If I get you back next week, that'll be a good thing. But if I don't get the presence of the Lord back, that's what really matters. Okay, you hear my heart on that? I hope you do. And I'm taking this from a text in the Bible. If you want to turn there, Exodus chapter 33. And also 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I'll just start right here with Exodus chapter 33. The Lord, verse 14, Exodus 33 and verse 14, the Lord replied to Moses. He told him this. He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And I believe that rest comes, it's a product of God's presence. Then Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? There was a time in history when the presence of the Lord was what distinguished God's people from any other people. We got to be careful that we don't become a people who are not distinguishable and not distinguished by how good the preacher preaches, not distinguished by how cool our youth department is, not distinguished by how awesome our music is, but distinguished by the presence of God, because that still matters. What once mattered a long time ago has to still matter now. We've got to be a people who are distinguished by the power of God and that only. Distinguished by the power, by the presence of God. My words got a little bit mixed up right there. Power of God, the presence of God. Let me tell you how that works, because those run together. If you get the presence of God, you will get the power of God. Okay, hear that. If you get the presence of God, you get the power of God. Okay, and I think we've been kind of shaped to want the power of God. I want the power of God. I want the power of God. We haven't got the presence of God. I want his presence, and that's what I'm after. And I believe that this time, I said a few minutes ago about the pastor that made reference of an end to the day of making church in our image. We've made it as comfortable as it can be. We've got not just coffee. We've got gourmet coffee. We've got the best of the best. We will make you comfortable. We've got padded seats. We've got, air conditioning. We've got lights. We've got smoke. We've got, unfortunately, there has been an entertainment value that has come to the church. And whatever has happened to keep us from meeting together has stripped us back to a place in our own homes that we either have the presence of the Lord or we just miss church. We just miss gathering together. There's nothing wrong with gathering together, but if we're going to gather together as the body of Christ, then we've got to have his presence. It is a must. We've got to have the presence of the Lord. I've seen where people have taken this time. I'm talking about back in the day, like 2 months ago. Let me just delve into this a little bit more. What had happened before I say what I almost said? I want to make sure I'm kind of weighing that out because I almost said something. I'm pausing, trying to be nice. But where they were at right here in Exodus 33, well, if you read Exodus 32, it all came down. It all came down to a golden calf. That people decided to worship. Moses had gone up on the mount, and he wasn't gone very long, where the people said, hey, this fellow Moses, we don't even know where he's at anymore. So Aaron, we need somebody to worship. We need something to worship. We need a golden calf. And Aaron, to please the people, he said, go get your gold earrings. Go get your gold jewelry. Go get everything gold and bring it to me. And he melted it down and they fashioned it into a golden calf and began to worship him. He said, here's the God that has brought you out. And God heard all of that. And people began worshiping and they began singing. And the word of the Lord, He told Moses, he said, you need to get back down to your people. Your people have lost their minds. And Moses starts saying this back to God. He said, well, it's your people that are doing, they got into this thing. They both, God's calling these people, Moses, they're your people. Moses is saying, God, they're your people. It got kind of crazy there for a few minutes. And Moses comes back down and he hears people shouting. And he said it was a noise. He said, it's not the sound of victory. It's not the sound of defeat. It's the sound of singing that I hear. But it was wrong singing. It was worship that had gone astray. And it was recognizable quickly to God. And here's what I want to say about that. These people, when Aaron said, go get the gold, where did the gold come from? Where did that gold come from? I'll tell you where that gold came from. These people had come out of the wilderness. They had come out of being slaves to Egypt. And remember the plagues and remember how God worked Pharaoh through 10 plagues to make Pharaoh let his people go. That is an incredible, I can't go too far deep into that because that is a whole big thing to start working on. But I just want to say this. When God calls Pharaoh to truly let his people go, right before that, he allowed his people to plunder Egypt. And you remember that? They got their gold. They got their ornaments. They got their jewelry. Why? Because they were going to go and start a brand new economy. Millions of people. They had been slaves. How could they start an economy if they didn't have something of value? So that was actually God blessed them with these ornaments of gold. And what did they take these ornaments of gold and do? They form them into something that they begin to worship. Now let's apply that to our lives. We've been blessed. No doubt we've been blessed. I've been blessed. You've been blessed. But here's the thing. It's okay to be blessed, but it's not okay to take the blessing and start worshiping the blessing more than the one who gave you the blessing. If he can give you the blessing, then he's greater than the blessing. He is the blesser. So, but we have worshiped the blessing instead of the blesser. What has kept you from worshiping God? What has kept you out of his presence? Let me try to be really nice here and put it like this. What has kept you from gathering in the past? See, my prayer out of all this is that church becomes my new excuse to miss everything else. Church needs to become my excuse to miss everything. Church can't be a default. Church has not been a default. I think you'd have to make the argument that church has been the thing that a lot of people do, if nothing else. If you have not settled the issue of worship, that's what I'm talking about this morning, settling the issue of worship. If you've not settled the issue of worship, then other things that you've been blessed with distract you from your worship. If you've not settled the issue of worship, then even gathering and coming to church becomes something that you do if nothing else is there for you to do. If there's nothing for me to do this Sunday, if ain't nothing happening, guess I'll go to church. How do you think God feels about that? Yeah, I'm being mean, Pastor, today. But I'm looking forward. I'm looking at a coming out of this coronavirus. What is this reset going to mean to me? And I'm telling you what I believe it's going to mean to God's people. I believe it's going to mean this. Church is my new excuse to miss everything else. In other words, I didn't even know how blessed I was until it was taken away from me. People have their health taken away, and then they realize how good it was that they could even get up in the morning and not have to be helped into their clothes or helped into mobility. People that have lost their health. Well, we've lost our ability together. So when we get that back, God, please help us to have learned something. Help us to have matured past a few things in our life. Yeah, I heard it. People just said, instead of church today, I just need some me time. Bless your heart. For real? Let me ask you about me time. Have you had enough me time yet? I'm going to stop being mean, but I'm being pointed with this because it's gotten to the point of being ridiculous. This is God that we serve, and we want his presence, but he's not a drive-through. And there's still a way to do it right. Now I'm going to read you something. And this is staggering to me. Let me say it like this. The scripture says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that tells me about God? There is a standard that he still holds to. I believe that this time away, I have to believe that it's been an opportunity of God to show us his rich mercy. To strip away everything else and see what matters. Have you noticed that our entertainment has been stripped away? I'd have never guessed you would have got America's entertainment away from them. But it's gone right now. I'm not saying it won't come back. I believe it's going to come back in full force. Full force. It might take a little while to get there, but it's going to come back. Our vanity has been stripped away. Listen, I can't even go to the beautician anymore. Look at these nails. Look at these toes. Now, I didn't do any of that to start with. Y'all that know me know I didn't do that. But my wife loves to get that manicure, pedicure. And I love some entertainment. I love to watch some football. I love to watch the Clemson Tigers beat up on other teams because they're Clemson. That's why, because they can. No, I'm just saying this. Our entertainment has been stripped. Our vanity has been stripped. And when all this stuff is said and done, and our country gets opened back up and we're able to move about freely, what are we going to begin to reincorporate into our life? Because there's nothing wrong with some entertainment. There's nothing wrong with my wife getting her nails done. I love for her to do that. It makes her happy. I want mama happy. I want mama's beautiful, but I want her to feel beautiful. She's beautiful with all that. But if it makes her feel better, I want that for her. So I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that, but there's something wrong with when it becomes out of balance. Balance, 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 which gets the priority, which gets more of the time. I still read where God's a jealous God. I still read where God will share his glory with no one. I still read scripture that tells me, have no other gods before me. Don't let anything become an idol to you. Easy for things to become an idol. So with that, where are we going to go from here? It's going to have to be balanced. And when I incorporate things back in, how much do I incorporate things back in? How much God's blessing? How much can I stand to be blessed? If it takes me away from recognizing him as the giver of the blessing, that I give him all of my worship, that I give him the amount of time that he desires, that he wants, that he blessed me with, can I stand to be blessed? Let me read you what I told you I was going to read you. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 4, then I'm going to go down to verse 7 and read to the end of the chapter. Verse 3 and verse 4, David said this, "Let us bring the ark of our Lord God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Verse 7. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. Let me just say here, this was a great day. They had not been able to inquire at the ark of the Lord. The ark of the Lord is what carried the presence of the Lord, and they wanted the presence of the Lord back. And it had been a long period of time since they had been able to have the ark of the Lord, and they were going to get it back. Think about that. And as they were doing this, they were carrying the ark of the Lord on a cart. Ark of the Lord was meant to be carried. That's why when it was designed and God told him how to design it, he said, make sure you've got rings on the side of it and you've got these staves or you've got these poles that go all the way through it so that the priests and the Levites, look, if you want to look it up, where is it? Exodus 25 and 14, priests and Levites carried the ark of the Lord. 1 Kings 8, verse 3 and 4, priests and Levites carried. That's the way it was supposed to be. They were always supposed to carry the ark of the Lord. There were these carts that they're talking about right here. These carts right here were something that were supposed, Something just came up on the screen. There we go. Right. These carts, they were used all throughout the kingdom. They were utility. I mean, they were a blessing. They actually had been given, but the carts would not be used for the priestly duties. Could not be used because God had made it where His presence would always be carried by men, not placed on a cart. There's some things that you can get wrong. Goodness knows, we're human. I'm human. I'm about as human as you can get. There's some things that I have done wrong with good intentions. And there's some things that you can get wrong, but there are some things that you cannot get wrong. You gotta get it right. And I believe that this is a time of reset. I believe this is a time of God's mercy. And when we're able to have the privilege to come back together, I'm the church, you're the church, we're the body of Christ. But when we come back together, it's going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And we've got to get it right. We can't afford to get this wrong. I believe it's an opportunity of reset, but it's a powerful thing, and it's a heavy thing, and it's a weighty thing. And God's glory is His weight, and we got to get it right. And we can't just roll Him in on a cart. And I think we've been guilty of rolling Him in on a cart because we think we've got Him. And we think that we can take the presence of the Lord and roll Him in and bless the people and roll Him out. And come back next Sunday, we're going to roll Him in again. And then we're going to roll Him out. And we roll Him in. And we think we bless everybody and we roll Him out. You can't do God like that. I feel so much repentance about some things. Because look at this. Look what was going on. Now you tell me, David, who made the best music. David, I mean, he wrote most of the songs we write and sing today have something to do with something that David wrote. David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. Man, they had to praise and worship rocking. Then David and all Israel, I'm sorry, verse 9, and when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Let's just stop. The ark was out of place. It wasn't supposed to be on a cart. It was never supposed to be on a cart. It was never supposed to be wheeled around. It was to be carried. Why would it be carried? Because the priests, the Levites, were always supposed to understand as they carried the ark of God, as they carried the presence of God, they were always supposed to understand that the weight of God is heavy. It is heavy, and we carry it. Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Can you say the praise and worship service was over? Just like that. Church dismissed. David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to the day to this day, or the day that God outbreak, breakout, the day that God broke out against us, breakthrough. Perez means breakthrough. God's wrath broke through and hit us. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. So David had to set the ark aside into Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. He took it and he set it aside into the house. So he started carrying it again. But he didn't carry it back to his house where he wanted it to be. He set it in somebody else's house because he didn't know what to do with it. But he was on the right track when he started carrying it again. When he started carrying the weight of the glory and the presence of God. And he said, how can I bring the ark of God to me? I'm telling you, something's changing. Something's got to change. Something has to change, and it's changing. It's changing inside of me. How do we start this thing back up, God? How do we keep church from being in our image? Because I'm sick of that. It's got to be that we have established worship. It's got to be that worship, the issue of worship is established now. The issue of praise is established now. There are some things that will never again be out of balance in my life. There are some things that will never take precedence, that will never get the portion that I had given it before. There are some things that now that I realize that I let church be in my image in some ways. What I mean by that is that it satisfied me. It fit into my schedule. My schedule is his schedule. It has to be following the influence of Jesus, where Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. That's where we've got to be. Not our will, your will be done. Your presence, your altar, your time, your worship. And I'm telling you, when we do that, we won't have to have a follow-up team because you came and visited our church. We won't have to chase you down and follow you with a baked bread or some chocolate chip cookies or send something to you to get you to come back. How ridiculous. How ridiculous have some of our antics been? I want the presence of God. I want to be distinguished. Not by how nice I dress or how fancy my car is or where my house is located, on which lake, on which cove, or which lake. I care about that. I've got to be distinguished by the presence of God. Because I've known people like that. And I want to be somebody that has the presence of God on them, in them, through them. In him we live and move and have our being. And I won't stop at a false finish line. Because all those other finish lines were false. Your presence. And I don't think I'm alone. I think there's a group of people that just want the presence of God. Just want the presence of God. And I'm just asking you to evaluate, because I believe you are. I believe there's something horrible about isolation, but there's something wonderful about solitude, because they're not the same. Isolation means I'm placed into a place that's by myself and it's against my will and I hate it. But solitude is something that's nice, and solitude is something that can be pleasant. And in a time of solitude, even if it starts with isolation, I can get to a place of solitude where I realize, God, I must do what pleases you. And I want your presence. Because once we've tasted of his presence, we won't want anything else. Will you agree with me? Father, your presence is what we must have. It's what I must have. Without your presence, how will we be distinguished from any other people? And you do have a people. And you do inhabit the presence of your people. You live there. Lord, in Ephesians, I believe it's the last verse of chapter 2, you're not coming for visitation anymore. You're coming for habitation. You're coming to live inside of us. What a privilege. Let us go after your presence. Let us never have church in your image again, in our image. Lord, let us never have church again in our image. Let it be what pleases you, and let you be the driving force as we gather together as the body of Christ and once again be distinguished by your presence, your holy presence. I ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God bless you guys. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope it's prosperous. Love you. Okay, I can't even figure out how to turn this off because something different has happened. Christine, can you come from wherever you're at?